Signs that your child may be a gang member, an NYPD unit for foreign-born New Yorkers, and New York Marathon street closure information. Hello, and welcome to Inside the NYPD, the official podcast of the New York City Police Department, broadcasting from police headquarters in Lower Manhattan to our listeners around the world. I'm Jesse Peterman. We begin with street closure information for the New York City Marathon, which will be held on Sunday, November 6th. The Verrazano Bridge will be completely shut in both directions from 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. The marathon will also close the Willis and Madison Avenue bridges and the lower level of the 59th Street Bridge. In Manhattan, the FDR Drive will remain open throughout the race, though some exits will temporarily close. Major street closures in Manhattan will include 1st Avenue from 59th Street north through the Bronx, 5th Avenue from 86th Street to 135th Street, and all of Central Park South. In Queens, parts of Northern Boulevard, Queens Plaza, and Crescent Street will be closed. And in Brooklyn, 4th Avenue will be closed from 94th Street to Flatbush Avenue. We turn now to the newest New Yorkers. With information on the new immigrant outreach unit, here is the NYPD's Jason Post.
To speak about the new immigrant outreach unit of the New York City Police Department, we are joined by Deputy Inspector Michael Lau, the Executive Officer of the Deputy Commissioner of Community Affairs Office. Hello, Inspector. Tell us a little bit about the new immigrant outreach unit.
Well, the new immigrant outreach unit was established because the department recognized that New York City is experiencing a rapid change in demographics. From 1990 to 2000, foreign-born New Yorkers increased from 1 million to 2.1 million. 36% of the city's population is foreign-born compared to 11% in the U.S. And because of these needs, the department established the new immigrant outreach unit. And in the unit, we have liaison officers to the West African community, Caribbean, Arab, Asian, Eastern European, and Hispanic communities.
What about being a foreign-born and a new immigrant? How does that affect the way you interact with the police?
Everyone interacts differently with the police, but because some people may be foreign-born, they may bring over preconceived conceptions of what police, crime, community is from the countries that they originate from. So because of these issues and other issues, we have to make sure that we build and maintain relationships with community leaders and organizations so that we can address each of these issues.
What if a new immigrant is undocumented? How does that alter someone's interaction with the police department?
Well, that's something that all New York City police officers are aware of. And Executive Order 41, which was signed into law by the mayor in December of 2003, says that law enforcement officers shall not inquire about a person's immigration status unless investigating illegal activity and it has to be other than the mere status as an undocumented alien. It also is the policy of the police department not to inquire about the immigration status of crime victims, witnesses, and anyone who calls or approaches the police for assistance. So no one should be afraid to call the police just based on the fact that they're undocumented.
Do you have any examples of work that the new immigrant outreach unit has done?
Yes. For example, when the police department recognized that delivery personnel, especially in the Chinese community, were getting robbed, the department developed a training program for delivery personnel to help them do the job, but do it in a much more safer manner. For example, we advise restaurants not to deliver to cell phone callers, to use the reverse directory, to look out for specific tips. For example, if someone asks your delivery personnel to bring change for 100, that may be cause for concern. And we want any restaurant to call the police department when any of these things come up.
How does the department deal with the language barrier?
A lot of our brochures have now been translated into five different languages, Spanish, Chinese, Russian, Urdu, and French. In addition, every department facility, every precinct, has now in the complaint room, in the domestic violence office, and also in the precinct detective squad, a dual-access handset. And what it allows us to do is that anyone that doesn't speak English that walks into a precinct can now, we would use the dual handset to call the language access line, and we would be able to engage in a three-way conversation and basically find out what the issue is and then send out the appropriate police response.
Deputy Inspector Michael Lau, thank you very much for joining us.
And now the podcast interview, Signs That Your Child May Be a Gang Member.
From the NYPD Gang Division, Sergeant Diana Erickson. What can you tell us? Are there any signs that parents should be on the lookout that their children may be a member of a gang or gang affiliated?
There are many signs that parents should be looking for. One of the things is a change in kids that they hang out with. If they're hanging out with a different group of children, that all of a sudden they don't want to bring the children home to their house is a reason why they don't want to bring them home, because they know that they'll get in trouble if they bring them home. A different way that the child starts dressing, whether he likes to wear a certain color, whether it's all red or blue or yellow, whether he doesn't like to wear certain colors, or he or she doesn't like to wear certain colors, again, red, blue, yellow, whatever the gang colors might be. Different ways that they will flag their association in addition to colors could be flagging on certain sides, and flagging means showing your gang affiliation, which means flagging on the left side would mean rolling your pant leg up on the left side, rolling your sleeve up on the left side, tilting your hat off to a certain side, or flagging off to the right side, which is a blood type of association. Again, the pant leg rolled up, the sleeve rolled up, a pack of cigarettes rolled up in your sleeve. Could be any type of gang affiliation. Not everybody that shows these signs, obviously, is a gang member, but it's different things that you should be aware of as far as your children go. If they have new electronic equipment, if they have like an iPod that you didn't purchase for them, if they have DVDs or electronical equipment, you should question them as to where they got that, because they may have gotten it through the gang or through the monetary gains through the gang. Also the music that they listen to, if they're listening to a certain type of heavy gang type of music and they're emulating the stuff that they hear.
If a parent sees these signs that you're talking about, what should they do?
They should educate themselves. There's a couple of websites. One website that you can go to that's an excellent source of information for both you and your child that you can get them onto is called gripeforourkids.org, and that's GRIPE, the number 4, the letter R, KIDS.org. And it's a wonderful, wonderful website that'll teach the parents and the children, educate them both about gangs and what to look for and gang affiliation. And they can also talk to their youth officers in the precinct. The gang division goes out, and what we do is proactive. We do gang presentations to the community, to the PTA, to the teachers, and we teach them about gang awareness and stuff, what to look for.
Sergeant Erickson, thank you very much for joining us.
Finally, a word on joining New York's finest. The NYPD offers a job with a future, a great place to serve, and a chance to advance. For more information, call 212-RECRUIT or visit us on the web, www.nypdrecruit.com. Thank you for listening to the New York City Police Department podcast. For Inside the NYPD, I'm Jesse Peterman.